Hello, everybody. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Maria Boynton. Today, my guest is DeKalb County District Attorney Sherry Boston. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me, Maria.
It is indeed an honor and a pleasure to have you in here today to tell the folks so much about so much that's going on, number one, with your office. And of course, this is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. You do a lot when it comes to trying to prevent domestic violence, don't you?
It has been an issue that's been near and dear to my heart. And so I have spent, this will be our eighth year having this symposium, and I have spent the last 8 years really committed to bringing awareness to this very difficult issue, one that affects families all across the United States.
If you're just joining us, I'm Maria Boynton. My guest today is Sherry Boston. She's the district attorney for DeKalb County. You have been in office how long?
I have been DA. It'll be 2 years in January.
2 years. Went by fast, huh?
It has gone by fast and slow at times. It's a lot of work, but I'm excited for all that we get to do for the citizens of DeKalb every day.
And you talked about 8 years you've been putting on this symposium, domestic violence. So you've been doing this for a while, even before you got into the DA's office.
Yes. When I was Solicitor General in DeKalb, I had the opportunity to start the symposium. And it was certainly something that I did not want to give up when I became DA. And I thought that we can continue to bring awareness to the problems of domestic violence by continuing this symposium.
Let's give the folks a little bit of a statistic here. According to the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence, 1 in 3 women and 1 in 4 men have experienced some form of physical violence by an intimate partner. In 2016, there were 121 domestic violence-related deaths in Georgia, including 6 in your county, DeKalb County.
Yes, and I wish that I could say that that number was decreasing. But we saw in 2017 an uptick in domestic violence homicides in DeKalb County. It is an epidemic and it is a problem. And that's why we want to continue to do the work that we're doing to prevent domestic violence homicides.
So you're having this symposium. Is it because you believe that we need to come together more as a community to solve the problem?
Absolutely. Coordinating a community response is essential and a key to addressing the issue of domestic violence. That's why we always have named our symposium Building Bridges and Making Connections. But this year we added a call to action because we really want to remind the community that we all can play a role in preventing domestic violence.
Okay. And of course, that symposium is on Wednesday, October 17th, from 8 in the morning until 12:30 in the afternoon at the Manuel Maloof Auditorium, which of course is located at 1300 Commerce Drive Indicator. I understand you're going to have a complimentary breakfast, so that might get some people out there too. Who should come?
Anybody and everybody that wants to know more about domestic violence, whether you're a community advocate, whether you're just a citizen that wants to understand and know more, and even victims. We have had on several occasions victims get in their cars and drive over to our event because they know that there'll be a room full of people and they can get help. And that's extraordinary.
That's powerful, what you just said. Because they will feel safe.
Yes. In fact, we literally had a victim several years ago who ultimately came back and became one of our survivor speakers, who walked into the room with her 2-year-old child in her arms and also with her 5-year-old child at the time. She had come here from New York and she didn't know where to go. And she heard about this event on television. And so she said, that's where I'll go to find help. And she was able to get that help. And now she's a survivor and she's come back to share her story with us.
So many stories.
Yes.
Varying degrees of abuse, I'm sure.
Yes. I mean, we have seen, there is no small amount of abuse and domestic violence. We don't minimize any abuse. But obviously, we've had survivors that have come within inches of losing their life. And we have family members that recount tales of losing mothers, nieces, nephews, sisters to domestic violence. And that's what sparked them to want to be involved, because they lost someone that they truly cared about.
At your domestic violence symposiums, what will we learn when we come? Who's there? Who's providing the information?
Well, generally speaking, we invite our community partners, and those consist of our law enforcement agencies in DeKalb, community-based programs and advocates for a wide variety of the community. I mean, we have organizations that serve our diverse population that we have in DeKalb. There are immigration consequences with some of our victims. We bring the civil side into it so people understand how they can get temporary protective orders or perhaps find ways to get a divorce or seek child support. There are so many complicated issues surrounding domestic violence, both civil and criminal. And this year, we're excited that we're going to have the partnership of our legislators. We're going to have Marcy's Law coming in and talking about all the work they've done and the bill that's going to be a referendum that's on the ballot that everyone across the state of Georgia will be voting on, whether we need to increase victims' rights in our Georgia Constitution. And we're going to have folks like Senator Elena Parent that's going to talk about the work she's done at the legislature and how people can come and advocate to help victims and perhaps increase penalties when it comes to domestic violence.
You talked about TPOs, temporary
protective orders.
Protective orders and how to go about getting those. I'm sure so many out there would say they didn't even know that existed, that there wasn't a form of protection for them. What are those exactly?
Absolutely. And it's not even just that people don't know that they exist. They say to themselves, how do I do that? Mm. It is a legal process. And so what we want to do and what we try to do is make sure that we have explain how you can get civilly protected, even if you are not pursuing criminal charges and you just want to make sure that you're safe. And we encourage all of our victims to do that. We walk them through the process of how that can happen.
We hear of victims trying to get out, but sometimes they can't get out. They don't know what to do. We hear about the different ways they try to escape, doing it in the dark of night, packing that bag, alerting their family, their friends that they're going to do it, and still they can't leave. I'm sure there are so many varying degrees of stories that you hear in your office.
We do. We hear a lot of difficult stories, but what we're reminded of and what we like to remind folks of is the day you leave, when you make that decision to leave, can be the most dangerous day in a domestic violence relationship, because that's when we know or that's when the accuser knows that they have lost control in the situation. So we encourage our victims to safety plan. We want victims to leave, but only when it's safe to leave, which means having a plan in place, where to go, services to protect, perhaps that temporary protective order, a place to make sure your family and your children are protected. All of those things are vitally important to leaving safely.
You talked earlier about having victims to come to your symposiums. Who else shows up at these important discussions?
We get a host of people from various backgrounds. We get people that are interested in learning more about domestic violence because they want to volunteer in their community. Mm-hmm. We get family members that recognize the signs in their own families and want to learn more and figure out how to help their family members. We get community-based leaders that want to take that information back to their communities, like faith leaders that want to understand more because their church members may be coming to them for advice and they need to be educated on how to handle those very delicate and difficult situations.
Do you get any teachers, perhaps?
Absolutely. We get anybody that works with families because this issue is in every family, everywhere. It doesn't discriminate on race, religion, or gender.
We've been talking primarily about the 8th Annual Domestic Violence Symposium and Resource Fair, Building Bridges, Making Connections, a Call to Action. It's a public event scheduled for Wednesday, October 17th from 8 in the morning until 12:30 in the afternoon at the Manuel Maloof Auditorium located at 1300 Commerce Drive in Decatur. Do people need to register?
They do not need to register. Although if you would like to attend, you can email our office at aariley@dekalbcountyga.gov. But you do not have to register to come.
Okay. We're talking to DeKalb County District Attorney Sherry Boston. It's great to have you in studio with us today talking about turning the spotlight on domestic violence. It is your 8th annual domestic violence symposium. Why do you do it?
We continue to do it because we get such a great response from not only our community partners, but the folks that show up every year. Everyone wants to know if we're going to continue to do it. We have people that come every single year, and then we get new people in the room. And as long as there is this problem with domestic violence, we'll continue to bring awareness to it in any way we can.
So you get the support of the county to put these on?
Absolutely. I'm grateful for the support of CEO Thurman and our board of commission, who routinely come out to show their face because they know that this is a problem in our community, and I feel grateful to have their support.
And I ask you, do the teachers come? Because in the schools, there's abuse there, but you also have an event, too, that targets teen dating and abuse, right?
Yeah, so teen dating violence is also an epidemic, but we have to address it in a different way. Because there are so many of our teens that are just entering into their first intimate partner or dating relationships. And so they don't always understand what a relationship should look like because they've never had a relationship before. So we know with our teens, 57% of teens know someone who has been physically, sexually, or verbally abusive in a dating relationship. And only 33% of those dating abuse victims ever told anyone about it. It is an epidemic of massive proportions with our young people. And so many of our parents and guardians, teachers and family members don't even realize that it's an issue. Because as we know, teens don't like to share. They don't like to share their comings and goings, let alone problems that they may be facing in a dating relationship. Not to mention, some people may be dating without permission, right?
Mm-hmm.
They may not be allowed to date. They may be keeping a relationship secret just because it's not allowed in the household. Imagine if that relationship, that secret relationship, were also an abusive relationship. They certainly aren't going to share that with their family. So it's a real problem.
From the legal standpoint, how difficult is it then to prosecute when you have these sorts of cases versus those adult cases?
I would say it's equally challenging in both cases because whether you are a teen or you are an adult or a wife or a mother of 25 years, these relationships are emotional and it's scary and it can be intimidating. So we face the same challenges in teen relationships as we do in adult relationships.
You talked about teens not wanting to share. How have you determined that a matter is eventually brought about? Is it because someone finally shared something, someone in the relationship shared, or because someone witnessed something and they came forward?
It's a combination of instances, but I will tell you there are many family members that don't learn that their teen is involved in a dating relationship until they're dead, unfortunately. We have seen also across the nation an uptick in homicides among youth and in these young dating relationships. And there are so I hear mothers and fathers saying, I had no idea that this was going on, not only in my house, but with my daughter, my child. And they're devastated. And that's certainly not how we want this to come to light. But unfortunately, sometimes in these relationships, that's when we're learning, when there's a death.
How important is it to not remain quiet?
It's important to speak up and speak out. And that's what we want to encourage our young people, because what we do know is although a young person may not confide in a mother or a father, they may confide in a best friend, a peer, someone that they trust. And so we feel like if we can educate young people, then maybe that best friend in the group will lend the support to that friend to get them to speak up.
You have that event coming up, your teen dating event coming up in February, right?
Yes, it's coming up on Saturday, February 23rd. That'll be in 2019. We're going to have our third annual Love Run. It is a 5K. And the proceeds go to the Women's Resource Center to end domestic violence. But more importantly, we want to raise awareness around teen dating violence. And we hold that in February every year because we know that February
Valentine's.
Has Valentine's Day. And we want people, when they're thinking about Valentine's Day to think about being in healthy relationships and what that should look like. And that's what our Love Run is all about.
And if folks want more information about that, what should they do?
They can go to our website and we'll be promoting that information. That's at www.dekabda.org. And it's also on our Facebook page and our Twitter page.
Sherry Boston is the DeKalb County District Attorney. She's been the District Attorney now for a quick 2 years. Went by really, really fast. Of course, you were Solicitor General before that. Let's get into beyond domestic violence. Let's talk some matters beyond domestic violence. Progressive prosecution, that's a topic, a term that tends to come out of your office, that I'm hearing out of your office. Is it your approach to prosecutions? Is that what we're talking about?
It is. And I didn't even know there was a term for it before people started saying, oh, well, you're one of the progressive prosecutors across the United States. Mm-hmm. I mean, these were ideas that I'd already been working on as solicitor and issues that I ran on as district attorney. But people refer to it as progressive. I like to call it innovative or smart. We have to make some tough choices in our criminal justice system. And we need to make sure that we are expending our resources in a way that makes sense for our community, which is holding our violent offenders accountable and keeping our community safe from violent offenders. But at the same time, we have to offer opportunities and second chances for people in our community that can be rehabilitated, that have substance abuse issues, that have honestly just made genuine mistakes along the way, but are going to come back into our community and deserve to come back into our community. And I think that's what progressive prosecution is all about.
DA Boston, when you talk about those who just simply made a mistake, when we discuss cash bail reform, folks who are in jail needing $100 just to make bail and can't, what's DeKalb County doing about that?
Well, DeKalb County has been on the forefront of these types of issues. And as Solicitor General, I was proud to be a part of reforming our recorder's court that at the time was responsible for dealing with these types of low-level traffic ordinance type offenses, where we saw people being held in jail not because they were a danger, but simply because they couldn't come up with a few $100 to post a bond. And so we see cash bail reform being discussed, not just in Atlanta, all over the United States, because the last thing we want is our prisons to become debtors' prisons. We certainly don't want folks being in jail because they can't afford to come out of jail. It does not help our families. It doesn't help our community.
What is your office doing when it comes to helping folks who have been in the system, who have been incarcerated, get that second chance?
Well, I'm proud to say that we created, when I became district attorney, a unit in our office called the DCAP unit, Diversion and Community Alternatives Programs. And under that umbrella, we do all of our accountability courts within the court system, whether it's mental health court, drug court, veterans court. But we also offer diversion programs where we as prosecutors take certain offenses and say, these are the types of offenses that we feel we can divert outside of the traditional criminal justice system, and where we want people to complete certain programs and do certain things, whether it's getting their GED or counseling. And therefore, if they complete that, we will not prosecute them and saddle them with a felony conviction that we know will hinder their ability to move on in life.
So if someone wanted information about this and they didn't know that it was available to them, what should they do?
Well, our website has information about our programs, but any attorney or the public defender's office, if you are in the criminal justice system, can give you information about those programs. They're well aware of them.
Talking to DA Sherry Boston, the gang situation. We read the news, we hear the news, we see the news. Gang violence, a big problem in the metro area. DeKalb County, the situation there, has it gotten any better? Has it gotten worse over the past couple of years? What do you tell us?
It has gotten worse over the past couple
worse,
of years.
Worse, okay.
But I will say this, we are being proactive. And I'm happy to say that when I came on as DA, I started two new units to combat the problem of not only gang and gun violence, but also homicides in our community. I started a major case unit, as well as a crime strategies community partnerships unit that was really based off of what DA Vance was doing in Manhattan. And I'm excited that these two units are working together. And I feel blessed to have funding, great funding, from our DeKalb Board of Commissioners, who saw the need for innovative strategies to address gun and gang violence in our community.
And that being said you started these programs. They're working hand in hand with each other. The gang situation, gang violence, has gotten worse in DeKalb. What needs to happen for there to be that turnaround?
We have to be proactive. In the past, and it makes sense, prosecutors have been what we call reactive, meaning we're not involved in our community. We just get a file when a case happens and we work it through the court system and we put somebody away. That's traditional prosecution. Being proactive means I don't want to wait for that file to get on my desk. I don't want to wait for that murder to happen. I don't want to wait for that gang to commit this crime. I'm going to work hand in hand with law enforcement and the community to identify those issues in hopes to prevent that crime from happening by looking to see who the folks in our community are that are creating the gangs, that are leading the gangs. So we're going to be proactive, and that's what we're doing.
And when it comes to police accountability, stories in the news, too, about police shootings, police abuse. One case in particular, that of Robert Olson, now a former DeKalb County police officer. He was indicted in the death of Anthony Hill, who was a veteran of the United States Air Force, who was naked at the time that he was shot and killed by police officer Robert Olson. His family says that he was off his medication. He was having a mental break. Officer Olson was indicted. Where are we now in this particular case? Your office is prosecuting it, of course.
Yes. So this case has been on a long journey. But these things happen, especially because the case has already gone up to the Supreme Court for a decision. And now it's been released back to us. And we've had motions. Right now, we're waiting on a trial date. And we expect the judge to set a trial date, hopefully within the next couple of weeks. And we know that we'll be able to move forward.
One of your own, he's a county police officer accused of taking a life, and then he's indicted. These type cases, it's a family thing, number one. But when it comes to you getting the job done, how intricate of a matter is it for you then?
Well, I will say this. As district attorney, it's my duty and my responsibility to investigate and prosecute any death that we believe is not justified. And that's how we look at officer-involved cases, the same way that we would look at a stranger on the street. Do the facts warrant a further investigation and further prosecution? And that's what we deemed in this case, and we're prepared to move forward in the criminal justice system.
We hear a lot of talk about Black girl magic here. You are in the 1% of African-American female felony prosecutors, correct?
Yes. I didn't even realize how small our numbers were until I became the district attorney. But there are less than 1% of elected district attorneys, or state's attorneys as some call, in the United States are African-American women. And I'm proud to have met almost all of them. And that we have definitely formed a kinship and support each other. And, you know, people like Marilyn Mosby in Baltimore and Kim Fox in Chicago and Jackie Lacey in L.A. and Kim Gardner in St. Louis. These are all women that I call on, that we use each other for information and ideas and support, because this is not an easy job to do. It's not easy to do as a man. It's not easy to do as a woman. And you add on being an African-American woman, and it is really can be a challenging thing to do.
Professionalism, discretion, all of that comes into play, I'm sure.
Yes. And the dynamics of doing a job that traditionally have been done by white men in our legal community just opens up a lot of issues and concerns that we all face, that some of our male counterparts don't have to face on a daily basis.
Everybody, I wish we had more time. We just don't. DeKalb County District Attorney Sherry Boston, we've been talking about turning the spotlight on domestic violence with your annual Domestic Violence Symposium and Resource Fair, Building Bridges, Making Connections, a Call to Action. This one is happening Wednesday, October 17th from 8 in the morning to 12:30 in the afternoon at the Manuel Maloof Auditorium located at 1300 Commerce Drive in Decatur, Georgia. And again, who should come?
Anybody. It is a free and open public event. If you are a victim, if you are a survivor, if you are a family member, if you are a community activist trying to figure out how to get more involved, come to our domestic violence event.
Her domestic violence symposiums include plenty of participants, the DeKalb County Police Department, the DeKalb County Sheriff's Department, DeKalb Volunteer Lawyers Foundation, Women's Resource Center to End Domestic Violence, International Women's House, Men Stopping Violence. So many participants come together, the community coming together, like you said, to get it all done.
Absolutely. And let me just say, if you can't take the day off, because not everybody can, you can follow us on Facebook at Sherry Boston, DeKalb District Attorney. We'll be airing our event live, and we'll be live tweeting on Twitter at Sherry Boston DA.
And of course, she has the Teen Dating Violence Run in February 23rd, 2019.
February 23rd, 2019 will be our third annual 5K Love Run. All of our proceeds go to the Women's Resource Center to End Domestic Violence. And we are a Peachtree Road Race qualifier.
Right.
So for our runners out there, you can kill two birds with one stone with this event.
Okay, everybody. She's Sherry Boston. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
DA Boston. I'm Maria Boynton. Thank you for listening.